Welcome to Help a Girl Out.
Today's episode is brought to you by Fanatics. Fanatics is the world's largest collection of official fan gear from all the leagues, teams, and players you love. If you enjoy our show and are looking to buy a new jersey, sweatshirt, or hat, you can support us by going to podgo.co/fanatics and getting 25% off your next order. That's podgo.co/fanatics. Fanatics, officially licensed everything.
I'm Rachel. You may have forgotten who I am because it's been a hot minute, but it is totally casual. And I am joined by one of the most precious lights and loves of my life, Kathleen. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry. Beautiful name just to bother you. How are you doing, my darling Katie?
I'm doing pretty well. I feel like I speak on behalf of most people who were given like full names, you know, but they like to go by their nickname when I say, don't fucking call me that.
I don't think I've actually ever called you that. So I just kind of wanted to, you know, poke the bear a little bit.
You know, honestly, like growing up, I wasn't called it like at all by anyone. And then whenever we would have a substitute teacher, they'd, you know, go, Kathleen. And I remember I'd sit there and it would take me like a minute to be like, oh, wait, that's me here. Like
who is that person? No, I liked just having my name be my name. That's one of the things that I want to do with my children is I want to name them like, this is your name. Because I think it can be a little confusing. Like, you know, you want to go by this, but you know, your name is this, but obviously your name is really beautiful. So it's totally fine. Is it a family name? I know your middle name is a family name.
Yeah. I'm named after my grandma.
Oh, so very sweet. Do you think you would potentially, you know, like if you ever had kids in the future, do you think you'd potentially, I don't know, maybe name one after me?
I'm honestly not opposed to it at all.
Okay.
And I like the way yours is spelled.
Thank you. Well, even if you want to even if you want to give your child like one of my nicknames, like Rach, that would be a weird middle name, or Ray, I would be totally fine with that.
But if I don't have children, I would totally name a fish after you.
Thank you. I would go for a fish. You know, before you met me, when I was just a weird child, before I blossomed into a weird adult, I had this obsession with alphabetical names. Like I wanted everything to follow the alphabet really badly, which is why I probably have really significant OCD. But I was obsessed with the idea that all of my pets, they had to go one by one through the alphabet. So are you ready for this? Buckle up. It's really cute. I had a fish named Abigail, a fish named Buddy Blue, a dog named Chowsy, a dog named Dakota. Okay, E, I can't remember for the life of me. I don't know. Oh, duh, Ella. Ella, I had a foster puppy named Ella. There it is. F, oh, that's correct. I named another fish Frida. Then the next fish was Gertrude. Gertrude didn't last long because I won him at the Osseo Lions Fair, and he lasted for about 10 minutes in his little plastic bag, but I still counted him. Then I had, who was H? I don't even remember. It was so crazy. Okay, I can't remember H, but I did have a fish named Ice Cream Sundae.
This is incredible. I can't believe this is the first I'm hearing of this.
Well, I'm just keeping it real. I'm just being honest about what was going on. And one time I distinctly remember, let me know if this ever happened to anybody who is listening. When you had fish as a child, I always had betta fish. And you have to clean out their tank, you know, I don't even know, maybe once a month. I don't know if that's really true. But anyway, you're supposed to clean out their tank. And then you have to like, you know, pour the fish into the net and then quickly transfer them into another container of water. And one time my mom was doing it. Love you, Sandy. And the fish was like jumping around and accidentally jumped onto the floor. And then it was like in the corner of the kitchen, you know, where like your cabinet, like your, your corner cabinet like kind of juts out from the wall. So it was like underneath. If we were trying to scoop up the fish, and it was so scary. It was really bad. And Sandy felt really bad, but the fish survived, so it was fine.
In college, my freshman year, I lived in the dorms, and it was a co-ed floor. And for whatever reason, we had a ton of the foreign exchange students on our floor. And it was primarily Brazilians. But there was this one room, which was actually directly across from my room. That's why it was so important. And I remember his name was CJ. And I don't remember his roommate because I always would get home at the same time as CJ. So we'd talk a lot. And I feel like he was from either Korea or maybe like Taiwan. I'm not exactly sure. But he was breeding betta fish.
In the dorm?
In the dorms. And so he had all these little cute baby bettas. And I had never seen such a thing. And he said I could have one. And I don't exactly remember. I want to say that they didn't make it. I think that maybe the mom ate them. I don't remember. But he had to be super specific about, like, when they were mating, about, like, where the female and the male were and keeping them separated. And then he had to keep the female separated from the eggs she laid. But then, so I'm not really sure how she ate them, if they got put back into the same tank. But CJ knew what he was talking about.
With the betta fish. That actually jogs my memory because they are really territorial. I'm looking it up now because I'm like, what the heck? Because I had two at one point, and we had to have a divider.
Yeah, they're kind of vicious.
Okay, this says here on www.bettacarefishguide.com. Betta fish are extremely territorial and likely to fight any other fish they share their tank with. Male betta fish especially like to attack other fish by biting their fins. And in cases where they fight each other, the fights can last up to 15 minutes.
And you know what's kind of crazy, though? They're always at the pet store.
Yeah.
They seem kind of, like, difficult to breed, yet they're everywhere.
Yeah. They used to have the rows of them in – oh, that sounded really Minnesotan. Rows. They used to have the rows of them in Walmart. Did you ever see them in Walmart?
Yeah. I love going to the fish section.
That was the highlight. And then Sandy would always be like, where are my children? And you could always find me in the fish section, just trying to finagle her into getting me yet another fish so I could continue through the alphabet. But you know what? It's fine. I've since jumped a few stops in the alphabet. But the moral of the story is that I think you should get a fish at some point, and I do think you should pay tribute to me with the fish name.
I used to always give fish as a birthday present to people.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm just realizing now that was probably kind of a nuisance because I didn't get them all the materials, you know? I'd get them, like, a bowl, but it wasn't like a tank. And then I'd get them like some food, but I really didn't put enough effort into the amount of care that they were going to have to put in to raise this fish.
You would have been your favorite child to come to their
kids. What a fun present. Oh no, this wasn't as a child. This was like as an adult. Like, I want to say from like ages 18 to 21, 22.
Oh, wow. Okay, Katie. I'm just imagining you, like, being like, here's a fish.
Yeah, I just like to pick them out, I guess. And then I'd like to go to people's houses and be like, hey, I got you that fish.
Wow. Okay. I've never heard of an adult buying other – are these fish for adults?
I mean, they're just like standard goldfish or whichever fish I think look kind of cute.
But were they for adults or were they for children in your life?
Oh, they were for adults.
Okay. Like, I think that's kind of cool. I think that's kind of creative and unusual. And that reminds me that one time before I went dog sitting, when I went to meet them, they said, oh, we have a fish here. And then they were like, so you can just we can put something in the tank that just feeds it automatically so you don't even have to worry about it. And then I was there for a while, and then all of a sudden it hit me that the fish tank wasn't there. And I was like, oh my God, I killed the fish. I forgot to feed the fish. And I was panicking. But obviously the fish must have died in between the time that I met them and that I was there to dog sit, because there was no fish to be seen. But for a hot second, I really panicked, thinking that I totally forgot to feed the fish and it's on me and these little children are going to hate me. So fish are a big deal, like especially to a little kid.
Agreed. I would prefer to have a fish over most other pets.
Okay.
I really can't do rodents.
Who else can do rodents?
Oh, some people are really into guinea pigs.
Oh, right. Okay. When you said
Or
rodent,
like
I just thought of
hamsters.
like a little mouse or something. Okay, so you don't like hamsters or guinea pigs.
I wouldn't want to own one, no. I mean, I see pictures of people with rabbits. Are rabbits a rodent?
No, yes. A rabbit's a rodent. Let me just check my trusty friend Google, okay? Are rabbits.
I would love like a large rabbit because I think they're super, super cute. But I don't think a rabbit would want to be in a house.
Well, actually, my niece got a rabbit. And
Does a rabbit seem
he
happy?
seems really happy. And he has a giant playpen and he bounces around, but he's allowed to kind of bounce all over the house. Bounce, hop. He hops all over the house. So he's really soft and he's really cute. But I can see what
So
I think
fluffy.
like a giant rabbit, obviously. But I think that when they are properly cared for, I think that they can make really nice, sweet pets, and that they can be really happy because obviously out in the wild there's a lot of dangerous animals trying to get them. But I can see where I feel like they can be kind of difficult in terms of like they're really small and can like escape from you, and then you could be chasing one around the house all day. So I can see why you're not really like interested in that situation, but it's all casual. As long as you don't need to have a funeral for one, it's all okay. Because if you really want to know, yeah, sorry, that took a turn. If you really want to know how weird of a child I was, I used to have funerals for my fish, and they were like this weird religious, half religious ceremony, half like dissection. It was very weird times.
What religion were you practicing?
I was practicing like a mix of Catholicism and like fish god, whatever that is. It was very weird, very weird. So I got a little like obsessed with it, and I used to make my friend Zoe do the funerals with me, and we would go outside in the middle of winter, put the fish, the tiny fish, in a big shoebox, and then we would like dig a hole by the tree, and then we would put the box in there, and then we would cover it back up, and then we would stick things in the ground that said like, "Rip, Buddy Blue, we will miss you." And then we would stand there and we'd say a little prayer for the fish. And then one time we went to go dig it
Can I just say that every episode you give me a little more insight into who you were as a child, and they almost always involve Zoe. And I just want to say, Zoe, I have so much respect for you for staying by Rachel's side because I also love Zoe and have gotten to know her throughout the years. But just shout out to Zoe.
No, I agree. I think that at the time I thought I was really normal, and then looking back, I'm gonna like not really. I think, but to be fair, I think it wasn't like we were gonna do something gross. I think it was just like we were learning it in science and stuff, and we were kind of like, what happened to it? Like, is it did God lift it up and take it up there, or is it still there? Like, we didn't fully uncover it. We just, yes.
Were you ever into like catching frogs or toads?
Katie, do not even get me started. This will go down an absolute war path. Ask my mother. I was obsessive about frogs, turtles, worms. I had an adopt a worm program, okay, that I roped my neighbors into. So don't even come at me. Okay, you think that you like to catch toads? Well, I can one up you because I basically thought I was going to marry a toad, okay? Like I was literally obsessed. But
So wait, rewind. Give more details on adopt a worm.
okay, this is the short spiel. You know my house, We grew up in kind of similar places, like a big yard. We had lots of trees, yada, yada, yada. So there was a lot of nature. And my mom was always encouraging us to get outside and play outside, yada, yada. So Claire, my other really good friend that I grew up with, she would come over to my house every day because my mom did daycare for her. And we would be outside in the yard exploring and picking shit up. And it was all crazy. So that's where it first started, where we would have so many toads. We would have like buckets of toads. And
Oh no, same here. I
the
did the same
buckets
thing.
were phenomenal. And then we'd have turtles and toads. And then,
And you'd put holes at the top so that they
yeah,
could
or
breathe.
you know what we would put on there? We'd put the it's the toy that you use in the sandbox, you know, where you scoop your hand up and then it
Yep.
fits
The
the filter.
filter.
Put that on top, all good. And I think that's actually so sad when I think about it. But anyway, with the worms, we moved into worm territory when we uncovered, which makes me sick that my little hands once did this because you could not give me $5 million to touch a worm. I don't think now. I don't think I could do it. But back then, we had these two rocks, kind of close to the, to actually, they were really close to the tree where we buried Buddy Blue, but anyway, that's another story for another program. These rocks, we would lift them up and they had like 20 worms. Like it was a big worm colony or whatever you call it. And so then we kind of started, well, let's pick up worms. And so our big thing was we'd like to combine our love of animals with art. So we would like to make posters and flyers for the animals. So we thought, let's make posters that say adopt a worm, and we wanted to make money. So we wrote adopt a worm on these posters, and then we wrote, you can, you know, adopt a worm from Rachel and Claire's Humane Society, and the worms are currently available for 10 cents. And then we would go and we would put these flyers at our neighbor's house, and then we would stick them to the side of my parents' vehicles, and then they would fly off. Which is really bad for the environment. But anyway, and so our lovely neighbor, bless your heart, Jill, she called up and was like, hello, I would like to adopt a worm, please. And
What a
what a
sweet
sweet
lady.
lady. So then we trudged on over there with a worm, and my mom was mortified, and we gave her the worm in exchange for 10 cents for a big ball and dime. So.
I had like a similar project going on. Something I've always prided myself on is that I have really fast
Oh
reflexes.
my
Like, good hand-eye coordination type
God. That's
thing.
why you dominate at every sport. And then I'm like, I gotta sit down. My ankle hurts.
So you know how in like the summer after a good rain, the worms come out?
Unfortunately, yes.
Well, at night, at about like midnight, the night crawlers come out.
Oh.
Are you familiar with the night crawlers? They're really thick, creepy worms. And my friends and I would go out at night with flashlights and just a big bucket, and we would catch these night crawlers. And you have to be fast because they're pretty strong, honestly. And they try to like burrow themselves back down into the hole when you start going for them. And we would get so many, and then we wanted to make money, so we wanted to sell them as bait,
Oh, that's now that's
for all the
smart.
fishermen. But I don't think we made like much out of it, but it's kind of fun to like go hunt for them. I would do it again.
Okay, I can think of maybe just one or two things I would like to do more than go hunting for night crawlers when I should be in bed sleeping, but I will definitely keep that activity in mind, Katie.
You know what? The next time we're both in Minnesota in the summer and it rains, we're going
Oh,
hunting.
great. I really look forward to that. I'll get my big boots out. My issue is
Your
the direct
poncho.
contact. Like, that grosses. The fact that my hands have ever been in direct contact with a worm makes me want to throw up all over myself.
What if you just hold the
Yes,
flashlight?
that's my job. I like that. That is the kind of person that I am. I like to hold the flashlight. I like to take a back seat sometimes. I don't think you can tell from hearing me talk, but like one time we did an escape room And I basically just stood there and like looked at things while everyone else was like really contributing. And I was kind of like, oh, look at that sign. You know, it says that. And I really like had no clue what was going on. And it was just too taxing emotionally. I was like, yeah. So, you know me, that's kind of how I like to roll sometimes. You know, if I'm the only one and I got to step up and be a leader, okay. But if there's other leaders there, you guys can take the actual night crawling responsibility, and I'll just hold the flashlight and offer moral support.
Just leave
Yeah,
it to me,
you can grab
Rach.
them, but then if you ever want to hold my hand again, you're going to need to like deeply sanitize.
That seems fair. I mean, I will probably wear a glove anyways, but
Okay, just in case any worm juice got under there, just to be safe.
yeah, I don't want any of
No,
that work.
the worms, turtles. Kind of my one other embarrassing story, which I think you could really imagine this happening, going off of the posters. I was also really obsessive with the idea of losing a pet. Like it was really hard for me to comprehend that people have to go through losing their pet, like that a pet can run away or that a pet can get out and get lost. And I was so crazy about reading the classifieds. I literally just said classifieds. That is how I have always been. I have always pronounced things the way that they look, and I'm sick of the English language having these words that are not the way that they look, but the way that they are. Okay, as I'm in Australia, where literally every city is pronounced incorrectly, but it's fine. It is casual. Anyway, the classifieds. Sorry. I digress. It's been a long day. Please ignore the fact that I said class of fields. Anyway, in the classifieds, I would read the lost dog section or the lost pets. I would read the houses for sale also because I don't know. I thought maybe I could purchase a $400,000 house through my Adopt a Worm program with those proceeds because there was a lot of dimes coming in, raining dimes.
You'd need more sponsorships from Jill.
Yeah, for real. I would need a lot of support there, but it's fine. So anyway, I had these toads and this turtle, right? And my mom was always like, okay, you can keep them for like one night and then you have to let them go. And I was like, oh. But then I would always convince myself, like I'd find it, right? So I'd basically be like, mom, I let it go. And then I'd be like, oh, mom, I found one. But it was really the same one. Like I basically like let it go out and then I caught it again because I'm horrible. And I feel like animal rights activists are going to come after me. Like PETA is going to be calling. I am an animal rights activist now. I would just like to clarify. This was when I was 5. My brain was not fully developed and I clearly had issues. Okay. So clearly. So I
Clearly.
had a toad and I distinctly remember, okay, I may have been 8 because I was a flower girl at my cousin's wedding and we were at the rehearsal the night before and there was tornado, like a tornado watch. And I was really anxious about tornadoes, even though it wasn't even a warning, but I was like, oh, a tornado watch. And I was freaking out. And only my dad was with me. And I remember my dad being like, Rachel, give it a rest. There's no tornadoes. And I was like, I want my mommy. Obviously, having problems. Okay. And then I was kind of shaken up. And when I got home, I was thrilled because my mom said I had a message on the phone recorder. So I was like, okay, yes. So I go to listen, and I had told my mom that one of my toads was lost. And then I had created a flyer saying lost toad with a horrific drawing of said toad and my phone number and my address plastered on the Sorry, Sandy. And then my poor mom, who has my younger brother with special needs, so she's trying to juggle us and then my little brother and then my older siblings. So when we go to the grocery store, she's a little frazzled. So I would bring the advertisement and I would put it up on the bulletin board and she wouldn't be seeing because she'd be so frazzled and I'd just really quickly. So yeah, I was pretty much the reason why, like, Katie, if you're on the fence about having children, I Me as a child should be the reason why maybe you should think twice. It wasn't good. So I put the flyer up, right? And later on, Sandy would go on to tell me that Rachel, it's not really appropriate to put our phone number and our address up there for everybody to see, but whatever. So anyway, some nice good Samaritan had obviously seen my embarrassing poster with the drawing of a toad that probably looked like a few squiggles, or like I had traced my hand around like a thing turkey and called it a toad. And she called on the voice message, on the voice message, on the voicemail, and she's like, "Hi, is this Rachel? I'm just calling because I think I found your toad." And then she told me the kicker was, "I'm in Maple Grove." Okay, so I put the flyer up in Maple Grove. Okay, for reference, Maple Grove is actually, I don't even know because I'm so confused by my directions. Let me just Google this.
I think it's like
15
15
minutes, but how
minutes,
many
maybe
miles
12.
is it? Okay, it would be like 5 miles. But from where I'm talking, it was probably more about 7 to 8 miles. Okay, this lady calls and says she found my toad in Maple Grove. My toad did not hop 8 miles to Maple Grove. My
You don't
toad
know
was
that.
probably still in my freaking yard. You trying to, it was all dazed and confused because I had left it locked up in a bucket. And anyway, but my little heart was like, "Oh, she found my toad." And of course, what was my toad's name? Toady. And what was my turtle's name? Turtley. Very cute. So anyway, that was cute. And my mom was like, I was really like, "Mom, we have to go get my toad from this lady." Sandy wasn't pleased.
Hold on. I thought we were going alphabetically. When did we get to two
Okay, no, that's
T's?
true, Katie, but you have a really good point there. And I didn't even think about that. But if I'm trying to remember, which honestly, I try and block a lot of this stuff out because it's just a little embarrassing.
Can
It's kind
understand
of like
why.
I want to pretend it was someone else, but I can't. I have to be true to myself. But I think I started doing that once right after the toads and turtles, because that's when I got really into the fish. You know, I kind of graduated from grabbing things off the dirt ground to like looking for things in pet stores. So, but if I were to trace back, yeah, I would have had a lot of co toads momentarily held captive. But yeah, so moral of the story is, if you have young kids, watch your children, watch your students at school. Watch anybody who works with children or interacts with children, make sure that they are not writing valuable personal information on flyers and hanging them up when you don't know, because it's not safe. Not
Did I ever tell you about when I had ducks as pets?
no.
Did you know that
No.
about me? Okay, yeah. So, like, 3 different times my family ordered ducks online, like little ducklings, and they come from California, and they're like a breed that that aren't able to fly. Like, they're flightless ducks. And they come and they're so cute and they're yellow. I'll send you a picture because they're so precious. And then when they get older, they have just like they're pure white. But so we had like you know every Minnesotan household has hosta plants in their front yard. Okay, so yeah, we had like a bunch of hosta plants, and so I think I was 13 or 14 when we got the first set of ducks. And my sister told me that the ducks can't eat the hosta plants
I
because
can't with the
it's
hosta plant.
poisonous.
It's just so funny because it's so typical. These damn hosta plants. Everybody has them.
They're
I
so
know,
ugly.
and I'm
Like,
just,
why does
I'm
everybody
sorry, I'm
have
not
them?
trying to derail this, but I just, all I can think of is when I was just home and my mom was really mad at my dad because he set down his rake and bag of leaves on her hosta plant. And she was so damn mad. And she was like, "Kurt, you're killing my hosta." He was so oblivious. He was like, "I didn't mean to. I didn't mean to." And it was this whole big thing. Anyway, I'm sorry. The hosta plant is just like a hostage situation. They're so bad. But the ducks can't eat hostas.
Well, so that's what she told me. She told me, you know, that's poisonous to the ducks. They can't eat those. So, we got the ducks at like the very end of May, and the entire summer I'm freaking out every time the ducks go near the hosta plants. We had a lot of them, and you know, I'd freak out. And so the kicker is they're really not poisonous. The ducks can totally eat them and they'll be fine. But I didn't know this. So I live with this huge anxiety, and I would stop and drop whatever I was doing to go and shoo the ducks from the hostas. And so there were times that we were like in the middle of a family dinner, and I'd hear the ducks out there. I'd see them in the front window, and I'd sprint out there and be like, "Stop it! Please! You're killing yourselves!" And I'd like cry over it, and I'd try and like shepherd them, like the herd, away and get them into their pen. And then we tried to keep the ducks throughout the winter, the first set. And this is like side note, but like I named them all. I bonded
Wait,
with
how
them.
many
They
were
were my
there?
ducks. I would go out there and I would have 10.
You had 10 big
And I
white
would
ducks
feed them.
floating around your yard getting into hosta plants?
Yes, and they never left the yard. That's
So,
the
do they look
thing.
like swans? No, they're little. They're
And
like little ducks.
no, they're like the same size as a mallard.
Wow.
And we had like pools and stuff for them, but sometimes they had a hard time getting in, so I'd have to like run laps around the pool and help scoop the ducks in there. Some of them would just sit nicely and let me pick them up, but some of them, and like you could tell them apart by like their quacking. Like this one Leonard had like a very distinct quack, so I'd always be like, "Oh,
Leonard
there's
was his
Leonard."
name.
And
Wow,
yeah, I
that's cute.
named
That
the
sounds like a
ducks as
name that
well.
my dad would have liked to give me if I would have been a boy.
A boy.
Leonard.
It's a solid name.
Oh,
But
side
then
note, that is
the
how, as a child, I would always pronounce that name, Leonard.
well, to be fair, like Leonardo DiCaprio was really
Yeah.
famous at the time, and I mean he still is, but
I don't
maybe
think he's
that's where
that
you were getting
hot.
that from.
Sorry, side note.
I do. But we tried to keep
Oh,
the
here's
ducks throughout
Nick.
the winter. We built them.
Here, he's gonna come in and I'm gonna go in the other room quick so then we can finish, okay? Oh, no, you're fine, baby.
Perfect.
We're almost done. Katie's telling me really weird things.
Hi, Katie.
Hi,
Hi,
Nick.
how are
Here, this is him.
Good.
Here we go. Mystic, say hi to Katie. Say hi. He's sleepy. Okay, here.
You see.
We're just finishing our episode.
How do you not have the air conditioning?
I turned it off because of the
You're
sound.
crazy.
It's been on all
You know how
day.
hard it is?
I know. I just turned it off so the sound wouldn't be on.
Oh,
Okay,
you
I'm
want
gonna.
to keep it up?
No, it should be okay because I'm just gonna go in here and we'll just finish
Wow.
quick and then I'll come out. Okay. Okay. Where's my light? I'll stay in our guest bedroom where Katie will stay one day. Okay, sorry. Let me look at the time. I think you were just saying Leonard.
It was just about to be 32 minutes, I think,
Perfect.
was
Okay, so
Leonard.
you were talking about Leonard. So do you want to just backtrack and say it again and then I can edit
Yeah, I'll start at
Okay.
50. So we tried to keep the ducks over the winter, and we built this really awesome like shed for them. And it was like insulated and heated, and it had like hay all over, you know, typical like duck habitat. Not really, I don't know. And anyway, it was my chore every morning to go. And by the way, like I didn't live on a
No,
farm. This was like a very residential area to randomly have the ducks, just side note. But every morning my chore was to go out there and feed the ducks. And so I was walking out and it was really quiet. And usually they would like quack for me. And I saw a lot of blood and I saw a lot of feathers.
no,
And
Katie.
then, yeah, my ducks were massacred. A fox got in. Couldn't even just take one. Had to take the whole group out. So I was devastated. I wonder if I had to have gone to school, but I probably didn't want to.
Did you just see the feathers and kind of know that something happened and then you went and told your parents? Or did you actually go in there and see the aftermath?
I saw the aftermath.
Were they still there or had they eaten them?
They were partially eaten. You asked. It was really traumatic because I had raised them for like 5 or 6 months by that time. And so then the next summer we got ducks again, but we gave them to a farmer after the summer. But we did that summer and one other time. But remember, I think that the hostas are poisonous for the ducks.
Oh, that's right.
So this has been going on for like 4 years. And no matter what I'm doing, if I see the ducks get near the hostas, I flip out. And so I would have like friends over and I'd suddenly be like, I gotta go outside. And I'd just sprint out there and I'd freak out over the ducks. And my sister, my parents thought it was just the funniest thing too. So no one ever said anything. They just let it happen because it was, I guess, pretty entertaining to them. And so Sam would bring her friends over just to have them like watch that situation go down or watch me interact with the ducks.
Oh, you were like the weird duck child.
Yeah,
kind of. Oh my God.
And they like totally do imprint. Like, you know, there's like certain species that like when they're born, whatever they see like within the first few days is what they think they are, and they'll like follow that thing around as if it's their mother.
Oh wow, you said that and I just went straight to Twilight. Okay, so did they imprint on you?
Well, not on me. They imprinted on my dog Lucy and they just loved her. They would follow her everywhere and they'd snuggle up next to her. She was like a German Shepherd Rottweiler mix, really beautiful dog. And they just absolutely loved Lucy. And I was worried that she was going to hurt them, but she really loved them too. And she'd like nuzzle them and lick them. And it was like a really cute bond.
That is so precious. That's like, you know, when you see the little pictures of the dogs with like their other animal friends and it's so cute. I actually did an assignment on that not long ago. I know, random. But I wish that I would have had a picture of Lucy and her and Leonard and the ducks before the Jamal.
Oh yeah, Jamal was my favorite. I named one Jamal in every batch and it was always the cutest, nicest one. The Jamals would always like actually like cuddle with me. I swear I'm not joking.
Did they ever try and like
bite you? I would just sit out in the grass and Jamal would like sit in my lap.
Wow, Katie, I never knew this about you. And I feel like we need to have an entirely additional episode on your alter ego as a duck master, because I feel like there's a lot more to unlock in terms of how your experience with ducks shaped you into the person that you are today.
I think it's pretty similar to how your experience with your worms shaped you.
Yeah, I'm always looking to make a quick 10 cents. That doesn't go away. So anyway, I have a lot to think about. Like I think that I honestly need a minute to just kind of like take it all in that my best friend was basically raised by ducks. I need a minute to really cope with all of this. So we are going to stop this here. We're going to give you guys a chance to recover from some of the more morbid discussions that we had this evening.
And please let us know if you had any interesting pets or pet stories that you can share with us. We'd love to hear it.
Yeah, I would love to hear it. And I think, too, it would actually be good to hear if people have certain tips on, I don't know, maybe not having your pets die right away. And also,
I kind of feel like we should do a vote of like, who had hostas.
Yes, we need to know about the hosta situation as well. So there's kind of a lot that we need to know. Basically, we're going to ask you guys if you had hostas, if you have any tips for pets, and also if you're out there and you're trying to come up with a good, you know, family pet idea or a good lesson on animals, I think we can help a girl out because we got some good suggestions. And if you're looking to implement an adopt a worm program in your city, please contact me today.
And if you've seen a lost toad in the Sherburne County area,
hit us up. Dial it in hot. What's that? What's that song? Ring my bling? No. What is hot like?
Hotline.
Yeah, but what does he say? Like, what's the verb? The, like, hit my bling. No, what is it? What do the kids say? Ring my hotline. Bling.
I thought it was hotline. I don't know. I haven't
heard it. It is hotline bling, but it's like, hotline bling. Like, you can't just hotline bling. You have to, it needs to be a verb. Anyway, I'm sorry, everybody. I'm sorry about the hotline bling. I'm just so overwhelmed by the ducks. I just have these images in my head that I can't get out. And it's causing me to have a mental moment. And it's also really hot in here. So I'm having a moment with the ducks and the hotline. The moral of the story is, if you have any tips on raising animals or the hotline bling song or tips on how Katie and I can adjust to normal life after being such weird children, please let us know. Thank you for listening to Help a Girl Out. We'll be back with season 2 coming in really hot. And don't worry, we're going to take a break from talking about dead animals. And we're going to talk about something a little more adult-like. Hotline bling. All right, we love you all. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next time.